At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Have you ever been listening to a creepy ghost story or haunting history and you're like, damn, this is so enjoyable, but I wish my friends were here so we could experience it together? That's us, Gina and Catherine, and we'll bring the snacks when you join us on I Scream, You Scream, the podcast where we serve up chilling stories with a side of our favorite ice cream.
Every month, we pick a new flavor of ice cream and a new topic to go along with it. Werewolves, poison, cemeteries, you name it. From deep dives into stories we all thought we knew to your real-world experiences, at this ice cream party, we always get to the bottom of the bowl.
Cozy up with us every Tuesday for your weekly scoop of the most chilling histories, mysteries, and paranormal perplexities. Until then, keep it cool.
And keep it creepy with I Scream, You Scream, wherever you listen to podcasts.
In January of 1897, in the hills of rural West Virginia, a young bride was found dead at the bottom of her staircase. The doctor said it was natural. Her husband said it was tragic. The community said it was sudden. And for a few weeks, that was the end of it, until her mother began insisting something wasn't right. Not because of evidence, not because of a witness, but because she claimed her daughter had come back to tell her what really happened. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky.
Spooky, spooky.
And we're back for another Monday, okay? In the books.
Monday, Monday.
Where do you think we're going today?
Alabama. Wait, U.S.?
Yes, we're in the U.S. today. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Because last week we were at the 50 destinations.
I was going to say, last week we were at the Flannan Isles. So where are we going today?
East or west?
East.
North or south?
North.
North? New Hampshire?
No.
Maine?
No.
I give up.
Virginia.
Virginia.
We're going to Virginia.
For lovers.
For lovers. You see, every time we pass by it, I'm always like, Virginia's for lovers.
I mean, every time.
Yeah, no, literally every time. It's kind of like a stem. I don't know what it is. I have to say it every time we see it or we're passing by it. I have to say it at least once. But we're actually going to West Virginia to be specific.
West Virginia.
Blue Ridge Mountain.
That's the downside. You can't pronounce some of these states without then going into song. Like, ugh.
I know, no, it's a bad problem. Shut up, you love it. You love it. You liar. He probably hates it so bad. And I'm like, you just have to put up with that. No, we're going to West Virginia today. We're going to Greenbrier County, to be specific.
I didn't even know West Virginia was big enough to have more than one county.
Oh, I know. It is so tiny. I still can't even believe it. Fun fact, there is a story about me and Tom in West Virginia and Scrappy. So if you guys have been listening long enough, you know that last year we had three doggies, but Scrappy had unfortunately passed the Rainbow Bridge due to old age. And one of our trips in his last year, because we road trip a lot, like a lot. And everywhere we go, we always bring the dogs with us. Like, if we're going to have a good time, they're going to have a good time. Scrappy had explosive diarrhea in the car.
And that is not to exaggerate it. It was explosive.
It was explosive.
I mean, yeah. Geyser.
Yeah, no, it was so bad. It was so bad in the car. Everybody, like Buddha and Phoebe, are like, ew, what is that? It smells like shit.
Brother
back here.
Made a weird poop.
Yeah, brother shitting himself. Hurry up. Mind you, we're on the highway and I have to jump in the back seats because we put all the seats down. So they have like the whole back row. Everything is just for them. And I go back there to control them. Needless to say, we just so happened to be in West Virginia and we had to dump like a shitty dog bed in a dumpster somewhere random. And then Scrappy had to get bathed by like a spigot in a very small gas station.
A Dove bar of soap, one of those little tiny travel size Dove bar soaps.
And we're literally trying to wash him on the spigot on the side of this random ass gas station.
At one point he had the collar on after I finished washing him and I went to walk, did not realize I was walking a ghost dog. I turned around. The collar had slipped right off his head because he did not move with me. And I was just dragging a collar along. And you look back and Scrappy's just standing next to the car looking at me
like
you
fucking
idiot.
I'm here. Mind you, also, side note, Scrappy's collar was so big on him. He just like he didn't run. As the older he got, like he couldn't run. Yeah, he wasn't making it far and he didn't really care. He's just like, listen, these are my people. I'm not leaving. But when that happened, yeah, his collar is so big. It kind of reminds me. It's as exaggerated as you think. He had like the smallest little skinniest neck and his collar was ginormous. But either way, I'm going to have to include the photo in the video. I'll even post it on our stories or whatnot or on Instagram of you holding him because
it was the most
dry.
Unfortunately, ghetto little shower we ever have had to give him.
Yes, and he's
I
a
know
proper babe.
He was like,
he was probably, this
what
is so
the
ghetto.
Hell is this? Why are you cupping water and splashing against my ass right now?
At least it was nice out.
What happened only a short, we were only an hour and 20 minutes to our destination.
He had another. Mm-hmm. It was like towards his last couple months, and that was the last trip that we're like, he can't travel anymore. And we paid the price.
And oddly enough, we stopped in a fireworks.
Yeah, that was so funny. That was so funny. But anyways, that is our experience that we have with West Virginia. I'm sure it's lovely, but this is the experience that we have. So we are going to Greenbrier County, West Virginia. And our story begins in the 1890s. I almost said 1980s. This would have been a drastically different episode if it was 1980s. We're going to Greenbrier County. It is a very rural Appalachian region made up of very small communities, farmland, and wooded hills. So at this time, as you can imagine, roads were very narrow and unpaved. Travel was very slow. I mean, we're talking 1890s.
Yeah. Old days.
Yeah, back in the way band, most people live close to where they worked. You know, people rarely left the county. This is just where you live, okay? From what I was reading, families relied on farming, trades, and local labor, like blacksmiths or mill workers and tradesmen were very essential to daily life. So I'm like, okay, this sounds like in the movies, right?
That's
like
before the machines took all of our jobs.
Dang, So as you can imagine, also women would stick to their households. They're cooking, they're preserving food, they're making clothing, they're caring for children. That's, you know, the roles are pretty distinct here. Men are working, women are working at home. Zona Heister was born and raised in Greenbrier County.
That is a hell of a name.
I know. Zona. Should we put in our baby name?
No.
Our list of baby name? I don't think it's up our alley. It's okay. It's
no.
Okay. Yeah.
Zona?
Zona. Z-O-N-A. Z-O-N-A.
Zona.
You know, I'm all for a unique name. As long as you don't call your kid like fidget spinner, then I do not support that. That is absolute torture. So Zona Heister was born and raised in Greenbrier County, West Virginia. She lived a very quiet life. She worked very hard. She helped around the house and was known in her community as very kind and dependable. Mm-hmm. Nothing that I could find really suggested that she was like reckless or confrontational. There's really nothing negative that I could see about her. Not that I was looking, but there was nothing that came up. Everybody said that she was always just a really great person, you know, hard worker. She lived at home with her mom.
She sure did take care of them farm animals.
So she lives at home with her mom, Mary Jane Heaster, in the Meadow Bluff area. Now, the two are very close, okay? Typical mother-daughter dynamic here. Zona's mom, Mary Jane, was very, very attentive and protective, especially when it came to the people who entered her daughter's life, which I'm like, facts? Who wouldn't be? You should be, right? You're a parent. Makes sense. She was very much a big mama bear. And in 1896, a man named Erasmus Edward Shue, which we'll just call him Edward.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we'll just call him Edward.
These are...
Baby, this is way back when. They was naming their, they were naming everybody after their ancestors, their, you know.
I would struggle so hard back then. I mean, I struggle to speak regular English.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It's my first language.
We've come back. We've come a long way. We've come a long way. So Edward arrives in Greenbrier County, okay? And I don't know why every time I hear the word Edward, I think of Twilight.
I had a feeling that was where you're going.
That's just me. But he worked as a blacksmith. He was older than Zona, but he was very confident. He was very handsome for his time. And he was new enough that not many people knew him. So as you can imagine, he was kind of the talk of the town. Somebody's new in town.
I mean, it is back in that day. Not a lot of people lived in the town.
Yeah, like I said, people aren't really leaving. Like,
well,
this
I was
is
just
like
gonna say, if you think
from.
About it, this is kind of like the how the Amish. Now that we've been watching the show, Suddenly Amish.
Suddenly Amish. Yes, they
have small communities, and everyone knows everyone within the community.
Yeah,
and everyone plays a role.
Right, exactly.
So it sounds like it's kind of like that.
It's like a small town. Yeah,
to be fair, that
town.
Is kind of what the Amish beliefs are. They like to try to keep it back to how things used to be.
So
it kind of makes sense. This is how things were. It was, you knew who was in the town.
Yeah.
Somebody new comes in. I feel like it was back at this time. It seems like it was probably more of a, you're either accepted or kind of shunned and have to really fight to make your path in.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't Amish though.
No, I know.
Okay,
I'm just saying that.
No, well, you know what's funny? The way you were explaining it sounded like they were Amish, but I'm like, wait, but they're not.
Yeah, no, I was meaning just in that sense.
Yeah, it's a small community, and it's like the 1800s.
And that's
18,
how it used to be. And 1890s. Amish still carry similar traits.
Yeah. They have their, because, well, also it's because of culture and they.
Exactly.
And the technology and how the world is outside. Yeah. But. Yeah, so as you can imagine, very small town. Everybody knew everybody. So if you were not from there, they're going to immediately spot you. Zona and Edward actually ended up meeting, and he courted her. Cute. Okay, he's courting her. And from what I was reading, the courtship was very short and shorter than what Mary Jo, her mom, would have really liked.
Oh,
so yeah.
Okay. Red flag number one.
Yeah. But I'm also like, you know, okay, the only reason why I kind of have, like, I'm trying to understand... Like, I always try to put myself in the shoes, no matter the time period. But I'm also watching Bridgerton right now. And this was also at the time where it's like, you get courted. And sometimes
so
it's short.
That's why you came up with this episode,
no.
Bridgerton.
No. No, but what is it? From the show, which is what I'm gathering is kind of how it is back in the day. Somebody will court you. I mean, you could be engaged within a week. I mean, also
Bam.
You gotta think about, but you gotta think about it. This day and age, like you're
people
not living to be
living
100.
That long,
yes,
no.
Exactly.
A
you
lot
know,
of people were hitting 40s, 50s,
we gotta be snappy.
And
you already have like you probably were already a grandparent by the time you were 50.
True.
Like
true,
it's
true,
just kind of like a yeah. So I'm assuming that that's exactly what's going on here, which exactly is what ended up happening. The courtship was very, very short, and Mary Jane, her mother, did not really like it. They actually got married in October of 1896. But Mary Jane did not approve them to date. So from what
Damn.
I also read...
She's probably like, oh, those rascals jumped the broomstick.
Well, she didn't really like him. She did not really like him. She didn't trust him from the beginning.
Red flag again.
Yeah, she didn't. Well, the mom. The mom, yeah.
No, I know.
Oh, okay, double checking. Okay.
Mothers know best.
Mothers know best. The intuition is for real. You know, growing up, my mom would be like, no. And I'm like, oh, she doesn't get it. Now that I'm older, I'm like, I see. I get it. But still, you know, just let me hang out.
You realize your sister is going to tell her about this episode, and now your mom's going to be like, oh, so now you understand?
Yes, I admit it to her all the time, and I'm like, remember when you said that? Yeah, when you're growing up, you don't know. You think you know everything. You don't, you know, until you get older, you start really resonating. You're like, dude.
I don't know. You could ask my dad. I definitely knew everything.
Your dad's going to call you after this episode and be like,
1,000%.
Really, son? Really?
Just starts listing off moments I messed up.
Yeah, and then you're like, remember you said this?
Don't count.
Well, that's also a part of growing. It's just understanding that, like, exactly. You know, you're also a kid. You don't know everything, and that's fine. That's okay. So she didn't really approve of their dating, but they got married anyways. From what I was reading, Zona eloped behind, like, her mom's back. She really liked Edward, and she wanted to marry him, and so forth and so forth. But regardless if Mary Jane liked him or not, it didn't stop anything. Zona was going to marry him. Zona was going to be with him, and so she said,
I'm going to do it.
She's going to do it.
I'm going to marry him one way or another.
So after they got married, Zona actually moved in with Edward. So she moved into his home.
Okay.
And not long after, neighbors started noticing that they were seeing her a little bit less than usual. Like, she seemed a little bit more quieter and more withdrawn. But at the time, like, this doesn't really raise much alarms, because being married in the 1890s after, I mean, like, especially like around this time, just pretty much meant that, like, a woman's world became much smaller. Like, now you're just
in the you're in the house.
You're a wife. Your duties. Yeah. Like, that's kind of how it was back then.
What do they call it?
You're talking about trad wife.
Wife. What?
Not what you're saying. I just randomly threw something out.
Stead wife or something like that.
A homestead wife or something.
Homestead wife or something like that. Yeah, I think that's the term that they use now, even about.
I thought it was trad wife too. Yeah, you might be right.
I don't know. It's something like that, but both. I think it's basically a wife that. More or less her job is taking care of the house. And
well, it's a lot of, yeah, like farming. Well, not farming, but I mean, dude, we're going to have some homestead wives being like, are you guys kidding me? That's not what we were
doing.
You
got it so wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, I'm so sorry. We're not really sure. Okay, a homestead wife typically manages the household, gardens, livestock, and food preservation. Yeah, so exactly that. Homestead.
You were on it?
We were both on it. Yeah, so she moves into Edward's home. Great. Mom's not very happy about it. Mary Jane is like,
makes sense. She's saying
this guy. Yeah. She's like, I hate this guy. He's like freaking annoying. But anyways, 3 months after the wedding, it's January 23rd of 1897. Mind you, they got married in October. It was the middle of winter. And the morning of January 23rd, that Saturday morning, began like any other. Inside the home where Zona and Edward lived, Zona was alone because Edward left earlier in the morning to go to work.
Okay.
Now, at some point, he sent a neighbor boy named Andy Jones to the house to check on her. Why he sent this little boy in the house kind of differs slightly from what I was reading. Mm-hmm. Either he was like worried about her, or he wanted to check in on her or something like that. Regardless, he sent Andy to the house to check in on her. Others were saying that he simply just asked the boy to see if like Zona needed something else as well. Mm-hmm. Mind you, they don't got phones, so they're like, you know, like, shit, did she say she needed butter? Fuck. Fuck, I can't forget the milk.
Was it unsalted or salted butter?
Fuck. Yeah, literally, exactly. So when the boy arrives at the house, he finds Zona laying at the bottom of the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was stretched out on the floor. Her legs were straight. Her hands were like against her body. There was one arm that I saw that was like resting at her side, and the other one was either like bent upwards a little bit.
Okay.
Now, as you can imagine being Andy.
I'm a kid. I'm running.
I'd be so scared. I'd be like, Ms. Zona, please wake up. What's going on? Yeah. So he didn't move her. He just immediately ran to get help, which of course, obviously.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So when Edward goes home, people later say that he seemed to have reacted kind of quickly and almost intensely. But again, husband just found his wife on the floor. We don't know. Everybody reacts differently. Yeah. He lifted Zona into his arms and carried her to the bed upstairs. And he asked to get a doctor immediately. Okay. Dr. George W. Knapp was the local doctor, and he shows up shortly after. So by the time that the doctor reaches their house, Edward was holding his wife's head in his lap. So it's like he has her laying down and her head is like right here, essentially, okay? He looked really distraught. Some people described him as like he looked like the grief-stricken. Like it was just like he was so fucking sad. Others were saying that he was being very protective of the body, especially like around like her hair and her head and her neck and like her shoulders and everything. So Dr. Knapp ended up doing like a brief examination of what he could from where Edward was holding her, because Edward would not let her go. Like he just could not let her go. So the doctor's like, all right, I'm, you know, he's obviously very upset. I don't want to pry his wife from his arms, so I'm just going to try to examine her as best as I can from where he's letting me. So this means he did not perform like a full autopsy or checkout or anything. Like he didn't.
Yeah.
He's just like from what he's allowing him to do. So he checked for signs of life. He observed her condition. And after a very short period, he ends up pronouncing her dead.
Mm-hmm.
Zona is dead. The initial cause of death was recorded as everlasting faint. Which?
What?
Yeah, so at that time, that's what they would call a heart attack.
Oh.
Yeah, but I was like, that is so like...
She fainted. It's just...
It's an everlasting faint. Forever. It's a lever... Yes, yeah. So it's like a sudden heart attack. But then that name just felt so... Feels so like...
Yeah, weird.
Deeply deep. You know what I mean?
It like kinda, very downplayed?
Really? I saw it as like almost tragic. Like a tragic poem.
I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, kind of like almost tragic.
Almost like Aristotle's just like...
Fucking.
And then the love of my life.
Jane Austen, she's like, an everlasting faint. Yeah, no, literally. But I mean, again, I'm actually now knowing that they called it everlasting faint. I wonder what other like medical terms were called something completely different that are obviously labeled differently now. Because everlasting faint was very interesting. But that was very interesting.
A murder was everlasting sleep.
Now are you Dr. Seuss? You're gonna follow everlasting?
food poisoning was green eggs and ham.
They're like, oh my god! Imagine what did it say her cause of death was? Green eggs and ham. Like, fuck, damn. So at the time, no formal investigation followed, okay? There was really no detectives. There's no crime scene analysis at this time. There's no preservation of the staircase area. It's just Zona's death was treated.
They didn't have everything they do now.
Yeah. And her death at the time was treated, unfortunately, it was just sudden. She just died of a heart attack.
I guess that takes me to another question. Mm-hmm. How often did murders occur at this time that people would even suspect it? Possibly being foul play.
That's a good idea. I mean, not a good idea. I mean, that's a good question.
You're like, we should go back in time.
Yeah, no, but that's a good question because also we don't really know what was recorded back way web. What am I saying? Back way back when?
No, it's true.
Yeah, but that's a good question. I mean, interesting.
If you think about
I'd be curious to know the number.
If you think about it, at the time, police departments definitely obviously didn't have computers.
Of course.
But I also think about the roaring 20s, and I feel like, and I could have all this wrong, but I feel like the 20s were a big period through where a lot of the departments or services kind of changed a lot of how they did their processes in the sense of one, collecting information.
Oh, you mean like it's just kind of the evolved?
Yeah, so I feel like this might have still been in that era where things weren't written down. You didn't really have a formal...
think about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
40 years ago, where was it that I saw it? Hold on. The first ever...
So I just actually checked.
I was going to say the first... Oh, go. What were you going to say?
Oh, what were you going to do?
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the first U.S. police report wasn't filed until January of 1930.
Damn, that's crazy. I was going to say that the first ever, time that they solved a case using fingerprint analysis was in 1892. And it was in Argentina. Yeah, it was in Argentina. It was like this woman who she ended up murdering. She wanted to be like with this guy. Of course. She wants to be with this guy. The guy doesn't want kids. So she said, I'm just going to kill my kids then.
Oh.
Yes. And she she kind of plays it off. She kills her two children. She plays it off as like it was an accident. She accused her neighbor and stuff like that. All this shit. And then they actually ended up using fingerprint analysis. She was the first ever person to be put behind bars.
What they do, just take clay... mud at the time.
I don't know exactly the
they said, can you put your finger into this clay piece of mud? No. We need to examine your thumbprint.
I don't know exactly like how they did it, but I know
wild.
I know they were from when I was reading about it, they obviously, like, they used her fingerprints that they found and they compared it to the crime scenes.
Interesting.
And that's how they kind of relate, like, dude, this is the same person.
They
that
just
was there.
Chopped one yeah. of her fingers off, took also, it with them.
Yeah, and also, what a pussy move. Why would you.
No, that's.
You literally
that's,
killed your kids.
That's a whole
just
different
with,
story.
Yeah, you're psychotic.
I
yeah.
got to hear about that later.
Yeah, that one's interesting. So, anyways, Zona's death is treated as sudden. Tragic heart attack, everlasting faint. Okay. Within days, they begin planning her funeral. Now, Zona's body was prepared at home, and Edward actually took charge of the arrangements, and he even insisted on dressing her himself, mm-hmm. which, from what I was also kind of gathering at this time, it's not very common that yeah. the husband would take care of that. It was more of, I'm not like the community or maybe the mom, or I'm not entirely sure how the practice was.
So they didn't really like have funeral.
Yeah, it wasn't like it just wasn't
funeral services or something.
No. They just like to prepare her at this time. It's like somebody would come and dress her, get her ready for the wake, for the funeral, you know, to yeah. bury her. And it wasn't very common that husbands would dress their wives. It would always be someone else that would do it. But he insisted on being the one to dress her.
Which I was going to say, that also makes sense to me because mm-hmm. your husband, wife, whatever, you're probably going to be in distress. You don't want to have to dress yeah. your dead partner.
Right. Exactly. And especially seeing how he's already grief stricken. It's very, but again, who knows? He probably just wants to dress her because he wants to dress her. He has his connection with her, right? He's just like, I just want to dress her. I don't know.
I'm just saying right now, there's like, been a lot of red flags. Her mom had red flags.
I trust
her mother's
mom.
Intuition.
Yeah, 100%.
The only thing that could have brought this further is if all of a sudden part of the story said, oh, she also had a dog, but the dog didn't move in with them because the dog didn't like him. To me, that would solidify it.
the dog's red flags.
I don't know what he's guilty of, but he's guilty of something.
He's guilty of something. Okay, so he dresses her, and he actually selects a very high neck dress with like this stiff collar, and he actually wraps a scarf very tightly around her throat. And from what I was reading, he kind of like it was like this big bow on her
mm-hmm.
neck. He positioned her carefully inside the coffin, and neighbors and members of the community came to pay their respects at her wake. Now the wake was held in the house. So okay. everybody's coming to this house. People, as you can imagine, at the wake are going to be offering their condolences. They're going to go up to the casket. You know, they're going to say their goodbyes. And several people said that Edward would always stay very close to the coffin the entire time. He was sitting at the head of the coffin, and he would continuously be like adjusting her, like her head.
That's weird.
Yeah. So if someone attempted to get close to her anywhere, especially like around her neck and her head, he would kind of get in their way and like stop them from getting too close. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also noticed that her head was not really resting naturally. There was a woman that said that it seemed loose, as though like it didn't sit properly on her shoulders. So they were all like, okay, odd.
What'd you do, Edward?
Another said Edward looked very nervous when everyone would approach the casket. And so at the time, there were a lot of observations, but not accusations. But again, grief does look different.
I'm
on
making
everyone.
Accusations.
It sounds like I'm accusing you. But again, grief does look different on everybody, right? Who knows? It does look different on everybody. It could look strange. People mourn differently.
Let me just tie this bow really tight. That way, if anyone finds that potentially I strangled you, that's where I'm just saying. My acquisition.
Acquisition?
I purchased Edward. No, my accusation.
That's your theory thus far?
So far, it's some type of strangling, or he snapped her neck, especially if her head's not sitting properly.
Mm.
You know, just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay, well, Zona later is buried in the local cemetery near Sam Black Church. It's a very small mm-hmm. rural church that still stands in Greenbrier County today. So if we were to drive through, we would still be able
Get
to
out.
See. Yeah, yeah. So we could actually go and see her.
Is their house still standing?
I don't know. That's a good question. After the burial, life, as you can imagine, goes
continued
back to
on.
Normal. Yep, continued on. Your typical routine.
Must be nice, Edward.
Yeah, it must be nice, Edward. But the official cause of death remained recorded as natural. No investigation followed. For most of the community, the matter is pretty much closed. Unfortunately, Zona passed away from a faintless.
Lasting faintless.
An everlasting faint.
Sleep.
after the burial, back in Meadow Bluff, okay, at Mary Jane's house, as you can imagine, Mary Jane was grieving. She was not taking this well at all. She just lost her daughter. She was big mama bear. She didn't really trust Edward to begin with. So she kind of already lost. She's kind of losing her twice, if you think about it.
Yeah, because she did not want to give her up for the marriage. Right. And now all of a sudden,
and they got married anyways.
Allegedly, in my opinion, has probably killed her.
Right. And she just is not feeling, she's just not feeling good. She didn't approve of this whole situation, the marriage to begin with, nothing.
There were red flags everywhere.
So after Zona's death, that feeling kind of heightened. And so she began replaying a lot of very small details, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm, she's grief-stricken. Mm-hmm. The speed of the wedding, the way that Zona was withdrawn, Edward's weird behavior at the wake. But as a mom, her intuition, her gut was telling her something else. They were like, something is going. She's like, something's going on. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I just don't feel good about it. Mary Jane starts praying for answers. From what I was seeing, she asked God to reveal the truth about her daughter's death. Because that's just how much she just felt so uneasy about this whole situation.
Oh, man, I'm already starting not to like this because I just remembered, because I noticed the lighting, this is a spooky episode. Shit. This whole time, I've been thinking true crime, just murder, sinister. And then all of a sudden, she started praying.
Oh, and wait then a I damn see
the lights, and I went, oh, green is spooky.
Teal.
Well, shit. Okay.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
As the days passed, according to Mary Jane, something happened.
Okay. What happened?
She said that Zona, her daughter, appeared to her one night in her bedroom.
Of course she did.
In her bedroom, she said she was awake and Zona stood at the foot of her bed. Are you shaking? Your leg is shaking. You're like,
my anxiety has kind of come up ever since I realized what kind of episode this is. Can you tell what we had covered the most of last year and that I think I've become a little bit more numb to?
You're like, oh my gosh. He murdered her. It's always the husband. Yeah. It really is always the partner. That's the first suspect. Oh,
typical. I mean, yep. And then all of a sudden, spooky shit.
Yes. So she said that she was awake and Zona came to her. Her daughter came to her at the foot of her bed.
It was Edward.
Mary Jane described the figure of her daughter as very solid and fully formed. That she was wearing the same clothing in which she was buried in.
Okay.
Then the ghost of Zona spoke to her.
Oh.
The ghost told her that she had not died of natural causes. She said that Zona described an argument over dinner. She said that Edward became very angry with her because there was no meat served for dinner and that she was busy tending the house and chores all day. She said that she had cooked plenty of food. She had like preserves, like applesauce. Mm-hmm. She did cook meat or something, but he was just like complaining about stupid shit.
Of course he was.
Of course. And he got mad, grabbed her by the neck, and twisted it until it broke. He snapped her neck in half.
I caught it.
That's what she said that the ghost of her daughter said to her. She said that she had put her hands on the side of her head and snapped her neck.
Oh my goodness.
Mary Jane further said that during one of these visits,
Hold on. During one of these visits? So there's been multiple?
Yes. There was multiple visits. So the daughter, the figure of her daughter, of, yeah, Zona, the ghost, turned its head completely 180, pretty much kind of showing her the injury to her neck, because that was another visit that she got. Are you okay?
I don't like this.
Yes. So imagine you're sleeping.
No, and you wake I'm not going to.
And at the foot of your bed is this figure, and it's the bent neck lady, and it's telling you how she passed away, but you're not understanding. So she visits you.
No, I understand. I understand. She doesn't need to keep visiting me. It's okay.
She said that the spirit of her daughter appeared to her four consecutive nights. So for four nights straight, her daughter was visiting her, telling her what happened to her.
So four nights straight, zero sleep.
Yes, exactly. So at first, as you can imagine, the story spread kind of quietly. Nobody's really talking about it. But in Greenbrier County, from what I was reading, religious beliefs in this type of superstition was not very unusual, which like is exactly what I've figured. Remember, we even covered the Winchester Mystery House. And at the time, like way back when, that was like the early 1900s. But way back when, it wasn't bad to talk about paranormal. It was something that was like it was a social thing. Yeah. Everybody was kind of into that, especially like now it's a little bit more.
Every like time taboo. We talk more about ghost, all I think of is Isaac from Ghost. Huzzah!
Huzzah! No, literally. But so at this time, it was very much, it was normal. Like if you say that you saw a ghost, most people are like, wow, really? Holy shit, where? I want to know more. Yes.
Okay, so four consecutive nights.
So for four consecutive nights, and it's not unusual, right? From what I was reading too, reports of dreams or visions were also not very unheard of. Some would listen politely, but others kind of dismissed it as, oh, she's just a mother and she's grieving. And it's just, you know, it's just a figment of her imagination. Yeah. Okay. But Mary Jane did not let that stop her. She was like, she was certain that her daughter is literally coming to her and telling her exactly what happened to her. It's a message. Plus, she's been praying to God, like, send me some answers. Send me some answers.
I think you got your answer.
Yeah, and her daughter came. So she decided to take the story beyond her house.
Oh, great.
After speaking with family members and a lot of neighbors, Mary Jane ends up making a decision. A decision. She goes to see the county prosecutor. At the time, that was John A. Preston, the prosecuting attorney for Greenbrier County. Now, Mary Jane did not present to him any type of physical evidence, but she did tell him how her daughter, Zona, had come to her. She described to her all the four consecutive nights, you know, the twisting of the neck, what happened to her, the rage, all that. And John, from what I was seeing, he was listening for hours. Like, he was attending. He was like, interesting. How, like everything that she is telling him, she's listening.
Okay.
Now, at first, there's no real like legal basis to reopen the case. Obviously, it's just her word that she saw.
Oh, okay. So at this time, they still had cases that could be opened or closed.
Yeah, yeah. They were able to bury her under the fact that her, what was it? Her cause of death was a heart attack.
I just didn't know that they actually had more of that formal process already. Back at this time.
I think that's they did. Crazy. Yeah, it's just not as obviously as extensive as it is now. Yeah. So there's, like I'm saying, there's no legal basis to reopen the case, right? Zona was already buried. A doctor had certified her death. Like really, you know, there's no other formal complaint beyond Mary Jane not liking him and getting this vision from her unfortunately passed daughter. But John doesn't dismiss her immediately. He actually begins asking questions and he started to review the original death certificate. He noted that the cause of death had actually been changed from an everlasting faint to a heart attack to childbirth.
What?
Yes. It didn't make any sense because she was never pregnant that they know of. So that's very confusing, very interesting. But he did consider the fact that there was no autopsy that had really been fully performed. So he started speaking with other people in the community. Now, a lot of witnesses mentioned Edward's behavior during the wake. They also described how he refused to allow anyone to get closer, like her neck specifically, even the doctor. And they even described how he would place himself between people who would come to try to mourn Zona, like by the casket. Like I said, every time that they would try to get close to her, he's like, okay, he's probably like, back it up. You've seen enough.
You've gotten close enough. Yeah, there's close stuff enough. I'm hiding.
Now, these details are obviously relatively small, but when you kind of put them together, they're enough for the county prosecutor to really question and maybe be like, maybe there's something more going on here that we don't know of. We really don't really know because she didn't actually get a full autopsy performed. So He actually orders Zona's body to be exhumed.
Oh, Lord. Dude, my anxiety right now.
You're like, what is happening? Where are we going?
I'm just like, can we get to the end?
In late February of 1897, roughly a month after Zona was buried, authorities return to the cemetery near Sand Black Church, where her coffin was dug, and an investigation was scheduled. For the first time since January 23rd, Zona's body would actually be examined very thoroughly. And so when they exhumed her body, I mean, county prosecutors there, local physicians are there, members of the community are there, right, for support. And her body was transported to a nearby location for examination. Now, from what I read, this examination was not brief at all. Among all the doctors that were there, there was also Dr. George W. Knapp, the same doctor who had been there to certify her death as a heart attack. The examination actually lasted several hours, and when they inspected her neck, they found clear physical trauma. Her neck was dislocated between the first and the second cervical vertebrae.
Yo.
The ligaments were torn. Her windpipe was crushed.
Holy shit.
There were bruises and marks consistent with fingers around the throat. And obviously, this isn't heart failure or childbirth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was up to my other thing too. I'm like, do we even know who or why they changed the cause of death, like the cause of, to childbirth? I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
I don't know where that was. I couldn't find anything about that, so I'm not entirely sure. So I thought that was interesting. I was just like, who?
It almost
was
sounds
it?
Like a paperwork mess up.
Yeah, exactly. And it just so happened to have been this one. I don't know. But as you can imagine, with all these injuries, this is consistent with force. So the official reason why she passed changed to Zona now had died from manual strangulation, and the ruling was homicide.
Wow.
The body wasn't returned to the cemetery and they reburied her, and the investigation went from no investigation to now active. So authorities moved rather quickly. After the autopsy results were confirmed, from what I was reading, they arrested Edward. They pretty much arrested him. Yeah. And I also read somewhere, I forgot where, maybe I watched like a doc or whatnot, but he was outside during the examination while they were examining her. So I'm not entirely sure if that's true, but regardless, they ended up arresting him anyways. Okay. But I remember I read that and I was like, okay, like apparently he was outside and he was also kind of making a fit about it. Like, we're really going to examine her. Like, leave
her
alone.
Why wouldn't
he
just start running?
I mean, that's my daughter. What am I saying? That's my wife. Yeah, that's my wife. All that. I'm not entirely sure. But regardless, they ended up arresting him. He was taken into custody and he was charged with murder. Now, during questioning, Edward actually reportedly appeared extremely confident for some reason. I'm not entirely sure. Some accounts suggested that he told others that the fact that they exhumed her body was not going to hurt him. So I'm also like, why would you say that? Why would you say that if you didn't have anything to do with it? Like, I just can't. I just can't. Yeah.
This is giving guilty.
Literally. But okay. But there is no formal recorded confession or anything. It's just pretty much accounts. But as investigators dug further into his background, they actually learned some information about him. Remember, he came to this town and nobody knew about him. Everyone's like, who is this man? He's charming.
I swear, I always see where this is going. He was a murderer somewhere else, right?
He had actually been married before Zona.
Oh!
Twice, actually. Oh,
are both of them dead?
His first marriage had actually ended in divorce, and the wife had also reported that he was very abusive to her. Interesting. And his second wife had died because... Okay, there's two different accounts, but regardless, she does die. The second wife died because she was either helping him build like a chimney and a brick struck her head.
Oh.
I know, very convenient. So, but it was something to do with a brick. It was either she was helping him or she was somewhere around when he was doing some type of brickwork and a brick fell on her head and she
passed.
I'm just saying.
I've had a brick hit my head. My own cousin threw it.
I know.
It wasn't intentional.
Imagine on the next episode.
I'm still here. So I'm just saying.
I know. I mean, if you put
sounds
if you,
kind of intentional.
The stars that, are aligning here.
Or it just so happened this chimney was already really tall and then a brick fell.
Could have been.
But
regardless.
I'm just saying.
Coincidence?
History sounds like it's repeating itself.
It sure does. Now, her death at the time, the second wife's death, was ruled as accidental, but who knows? And this information was actually obviously not widely known in Greenbrier County when he married Zona. And remember when, you know, he's kind of like this mysterious man that shows up into this new town, yeah, and everyone's like, ooh, and then he courts Zona and then he ends up marrying her and blah, 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 all this stuff.
So hold on real quick though. They didn't rule the girl that died from the brick. They didn't rule her.
It was accidental.
They didn't rule it as like a lasting sleepless concussion.
No. They ruled it as accidental from what I gathered. Yeah.
I felt like based on how they're ruling everything else, it should have been sleeping concussion.
Yeah, but that's a heart attack. Everlasting sleeping faint concussion. Is a heart attack.
Sleeping concussion.
Oh, you're giving it a name.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Okay. We got to get better with it. I was like, huh?
Lasting sleeping concussion.
Pat. Here we go. Green eggs and ham with you.
Sam,
you're like,
I am.
Oh my God, I can't.
Reading Rainbow.
You crack me up. Now, as you can imagine, because they examined her body and this, you know, he gets arrested, he's in jail now, it becomes very relevant. And actually, the case moves to trial.
Oh.
We in trial, baby. We in trial, okay? Word spread quickly through the county. And so, as you can imagine, the public's interest very much grew. Now, in this small Appalachian community, a murder charge is not going to go unnoticed.
Oh, I can guarantee it.
So by June of 1897, the case of the state of West Virginia versus Edward Shue started. The courtroom was full. The prosecution built its case around the medical evidence. The doctors testified about that they had what they had found in the autopsy. They described how she had a dislocation between the first and the second cervical vertebrae. They explained about her windpipe being crushed. They clearly stated that the injuries were consistent with a manual strangulation. Dr. George Knapp actually acknowledges on stand that his original examination was only because he had been kept from really being able to see her body.
Hmm.
Yes.
I wonder by who?
Hmm. Edward. Hmm. Skin of a killer. Hmm. He testified that Edward had been holding Zona's head when he arrived and was very protective of the neck area. Neighbors also took the stand and they also described his behavior at the wake. They said that he did not allow anyone to, you know, get close to her body. None of that. So they also described how agitated he was when anyone would get close to the coffin. So apparently his mood would also shift, which makes sense if you murdered your wife. People are like, maybe he's grief-stricken, and in reality, he murdered his wife. The prosecution all mentioned his past marriages, one that ended in divorce, the other one, the wife had passed away. We don't know if it was because he murdered her. We won't know. But then the defense, Edward's lawyer, plays this type of strategic move. He calls Mary Jane to the stand. Now, from what I was reading, it seemed like their intention to call her to the stand was to kind of like undermine her credibility, to kind of portray her as this like overly emotional mother and that the grief was telling her and clouding her judgment and all that. Okay. But it kind of backfired because under oath, Mary Jane testifies and tells her story. And she says exactly what happened, that Zona appears to her for four consecutive nights. She describes the conversation. She stated that her daughter told her that Edward was very angry over the fact that there was no meat at dinner and twisted her neck until it broke. Now, she said that the ghost had turned his head, like I said, completely 180 to kind of demonstrate, you know, that her neck was snapped. And on cross-examination, she did not at all retract her story whatsoever. She was like, nope, I was awake. Like, you're not going to tell me I'm crazy. I was awake. I know what I saw. I'm certain. Yeah, there's no doubt what I had seen. Now, the thing that is crazy is that the judge did not instruct the jury to disregard her testimony.
Damn.
At all.
Judge said, yeah, believe that ghost.
No, the judge was like, interesting. We're going to leave it in. Leave it in for now. Because usually, like,
we don't have rules around this yet.
No, but if you think about it, usually when there is a court, when there's a trial going on, if something is said,
it should be like strike that
from the record. Yeah, because you don't want the jury to base off of their charge.
It's got to be something that's factual and able to easily be backed up.
Exactly. So now, and obviously now there's a lot of rules behind certain things that you say, but thankfully, which also again, if you believe that she saw her ghost or not, regardless, it led to her opening, getting her daughter's body exhumed and actually finding out that she was murdered. So,
which, coincidence?
I think not.
I think not.
So instead, jurors were told to weigh all the evidence presented and to base their decision on the facts. They're like, you know what? We're going to give you everything. And you know what's a fact and what isn't.
Freaking AC just kicked on. And all I saw, I didn't feel the AC yet. I just saw your candle flickering. And I was like, is she here with us right now?
Zona, I can't believe he did that. Oh my God. I hope you're fighting. So the jurors are told, you know, here's all the evidence. Now just weigh your decision based on the facts. Mm-hmm. But the evidence was also including Mary Jane's testimony. Yes.
Factual.
So take that with what you will. I mean, regardless, even without her testimony, knowing that we know that she did get her neck snapped and then he's at trial. He did lie. He does have this like very shady background.
And nobody knew all this had happened until her mom saw her daughter.
Right.
In
the ghost of her
ghost
daughter.
Form.
Yeah.
And then convinced to reopen the trial.
Yep, exactly.
Examine her body again.
Exactly. So this would actually be the first ever recorded trial where essentially a ghost's testimony was used as evidence. Yeah, which is crazy.
Who's on the trial? Oh, it's a ghost. So how are we going to talk to it?
Huzzah! Imagine. No, but so this is actually, which is it's fascinating in itself because nowadays, I don't think that would.
Oh, heck no.
That would not.
They'd be like, we don't allow no ghost in this courthouse.
Yeah, like actually.
No
I'm
buffoonery.
Kind of, no, seriously. So true. I could have sworn that there was like a case or a trial maybe in the last 20 years where they try to insert a paranormal. Something paranormal, maybe. Or maybe I'm thinking about a movie or something. Oh, no, I'm thinking about a movie. I think I'm thinking about a movie. No, maybe I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not. It's the actual case of the exorcism of Emily Rose. Yes, because that's actually based on a real life trial. Like on a real life story.
Okay. So it's been rarely accepted as factual evidence in modern legal proceedings. The Greenbrier ghost of... That's literally what we're talking about, is the number one. That is one.
Yeah.
The Salem witch trials in 1692.
That was
going to
be another one, too. I was going to say the Salem witch trials was another one.
Stambosky versus Ackley. Oh, the Ghostbusters ruling.
What? I didn't know that. Is that real? Off of that, because you're like... You're not supposed to know any of these details of any type of story, and you're just supposed to be surprised and shocked on air. Cut it out. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I'm going to have to look
into
that.
Emily Rose was also on there.
Yes. So that's the other one that I do remember that they had to use that. But very interesting. It doesn't happen often, clearly, but I think where it makes sense, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the prosecution actually didn't argue that a ghost had solved the crime. They pretty much just argued that the autopsy did, which is true. The autopsy did.
It's true.
But sprinkle in the story.
Brought us to the autopsy.
Yeah, sprinkle in Mary Jane's story.
So put it together however you see fit, but
Yeah. Go
solve the case.
Exactly. Zona literally solved her own case. So after closing arguments, the jury deliberated for about an hour and they came back with a verdict. Edward Chu was found guilty. Not of first degree murder, but of second degree murder. And so the jury recommended a life sentence.
Because one of them's premeditated. What's second degree?
I gotcha.
I never understand this because they have first, third, and second.
No, I honestly get confused too. Hold on. First and second degree.
And I feel like sometimes third degree is worse than first degree. And I'm very confused.
So first degree is your premeditated. Second degree is not. Yeah. It's a heat of a passion kind of moment. So
makes
they...
sense.
So he gets found guilty on second degree murdered. What the fuck?
You are really struggling today with the conversations.
Murdered. He's found guilty of second degree murder. And the jury recommends a life sentence. And the court actually accepts the recommendation. They accept it. And Edward Chu was sentenced to life in prison. Life in prison because his ghost
told
wife,
on him.
His ex-wife, told him that. Which,
as
screw you, Edward.
You should.
Screw you. So after the sentencing, authorities moved very quickly to remove Edward from the area. There was a lot of reports of the anger in the community. I was also reading that like a mob gathered around and were considering trying to take matters into their own hands. Law enforcement intervened and they escorted Edward to safety, into custody. Yes. Now, he was transferred to the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville, where he began serving his life in prison. But unfortunately, he did not serve long. Because
what?
On March 1st of 1900, just under 3 years after he was convicted, he ends up dying in prison.
Oh.
As a result of an illness. Yes.
Okay.
He passed way too easy, in my opinion, but yes.
I agree. I thought you, I won't lie, I thought you were going to go a different route and say he escaped.
Oh my God.
Imagine. And I was going to be really upset.
Oh my God. Something Man. The one we saw with the movie with Channing Tatum. He ends up escaping.
Oh, Roof Man.
Roof Man. Yes, like Roof Man. I know. So he was actually buried in the prison cemetery and back in Greenbrier County. As you can imagine, life continued. Now, Mary Jane remained very firm on what she had experienced. She never publicly retracted her testimony, and she lived until 1916. Over time, the details of the trial became part of like a local memory. The medical findings, the courtroom testimony, and the unusual origin of the investigation were discussed long after the case is concluded. I mean, as you can imagine, it's 2026 and we are still talking about it. A lot of other podcasts have also covered this episode. Years later, a state historical marker was placed near the area where the events took place, and anyone can actually go see them. So if you guys do happen to pass by West Virginia and can somehow make it out to Greenbrier County, you can definitely go see this marker. I'll post photos, but it pretty much just states that the case is the only known case in which testimony from a ghost actually helped convict a murderer, which if I think is badass.
That's
That I mean, imagine being
to get to
that
basically convict your own murderer.
Yeah, I know.
From and ghost form.
So if you guys do end up passing by, oh my God, send us photos. We should probably stop by.
We should.
Because we can
we could drive past.
Oh, well, think about Scrappy and the shitty bed we had to leave somewhere in West Virginia. Yes, yes. So the official court record shows that the conviction rested on medical evidence and the witness testimony, okay? But the ghost story remains in the record because it was spoken under oath.
Oh.
So this is why it's called the Greenbrier Ghost. And with that, that is the case of Zona Heaster Shoe.
Wild.
Yep. Now it's just a piece of local history there. So whether you really did believe if Mary Jane's daughter came to her or didn't, I feel like she must. Well, she definitely must have. And I don't think if she was. Of course, she was definitely grief stricken. But I wonder if because she was grief stricken and she was doing all this praying that she manifested herself and was like, listen to your intuition, which sucks also for Mary Jane, because from the jump, mother's intuition never lies.
She knew. She knew something was up.
She knew from the jump. She knew. She didn't like him from the jump. And unfortunately, you know, Zona really liked him. So they got married. But, and also like, wow, he ends up murdering. One, he gets away. Three,
you got the benefit of the doubt and you still murdered her?
I know. Piece of shit.
What an ass.
Always a husband, man. Always a husband.
Whoa.
You're like, don't be pointing the finger over here. Don't be pulling the figure
not
over
all
here.
Of us are like this.
No, definitely not. So that was today's episode. I know I kind of threw you in for a loop because you figured out that it was not a true crime case. Well, it is a true crime case, but
it's true crime,
paranormal.
But the paranormal was getting me.
I thought it was
I just
so
love how it clicked. It kind of felt like the guy, the gif of the guy that's sitting there and you see, and he's like this.
Oh, are you talking about?
I think
wait,
it's from
is
no,
it from
yeah,
Hangover?
It's, no,
or
not
Key
from
and Peele.
Yes, Hangover. Alan,
yeah,
when he's counting
he's
cards
counting
and he's
cards.
Like,
yeah, no, that was literally you.
And all of a sudden it clicked, and I was like, oh shit!
You know what I'd like to do if we pass by there? Because you could go where she's buried. We could do like a what is it? A ghost box?
Oh god, an EVP
do the
thing?
The EVP thing, and we should do an EVP thing,
cool.
EVP reading, and
okay.
see if we can get Zona to. Say something. Or Mary Jane, maybe.
Maybe both.
Yeah, why not?
Who knows?
You're
all
lying.
Right.
He's going to make sure that we do not go the West Virginia route.
Nope.
Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
And if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or preferably not downright spooky, but...
No, please.
Please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or jump over to the website macabremondays.com and submit your story. Yours might just be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode updates and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned, more mystery is around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends.
Bye.
Are you going to sleep tonight?
Nope.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Imagine Zona. You wake up and nope. Zona's at the foot
All
of
right.
your bed.
See you guys.
And it's Bedneck Lady. She's like,
why would you do that?
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.